John, CPR corollary, what is that?
Well, the CPR corollary is something I imagined and discovered and articulated over the years when I was a CPR instructor in the 70s. And ever since I was thinking about concealed carry when I was about 21. And I was able to determine that there is an identity of values between citizen concealed carry of weapons and citizen volunteer involvement in cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Now, the important thing is that they are identical in terms of public policy and interest. The thing is that they both face immediate grave danger. One is yourself, mm-hmm. when you face some sort of a thug in your house at 2 in the afternoon. And in the case of the patient, they're facing grave danger when their heart stops. And the important thing is that CPR is not just for heart attacks. It is especially for premature death. This is for somebody who's facing a near drowning, electrocution, a 19-year-old who takes a lethal shock from his hobby bench, a childbirth, traffic accident. You can name it, where a person has choked or stopped breathing and may deteriorate
right.
into a cardiac arrest situation. The second thing is you're alone. You're without the first responders. You may be there for the first critical moments when you're going to make all the difference. And the third thing is that if you don't intervene, the results are identical. It can be grave, heartbreaking, and, of course, irrevocable. Now, the genius of it is that you don't need a license to do CPR. The American Heart Association, 25 years ago, used to say, look, you've got to get training. You can't undertake a resuscitation effort without being certified. But then they were able to prove. They looked and they found that you can do CPR if you understand its mechanics sufficiently without being trained. The idea was to encourage volunteers because they found and enunciated as a matter of policy that bad CPR is better than none.
Nothing, right.
And so I advocate, you know, learning first aid and CPR because you never know when you're going to need to deliver the Heimlich maneuver, life-saving first aid, or thump on somebody's chest.
That's true.
Yeah, and if you carry a gun, you may save your life with authority. Don't forget, individuals in this country, where we differ from other countries, is that we have had authority to face down grave danger with lethal force since the nation's inception. And that part hasn't changed.
I went down to Florida while I was on vacation for a couple days, and I was talking with a sheriff down there, elected sheriff, who carries, and I told him, hey, I've got a concealed weapons permit too, and I said, do you keep your gun chambered? And he said, what good is it if it's not? And I went, he's probably right. You have to be ready, John, and I guess that's what you're saying.
Well, that's the whole purpose of having students armed on campus. An armed student on campus can come to the aid of another in authority and protect another person in the critical moments where he's needed, or he or she needed most, before the law enforcement office can even get the request for aid.
And by the way, it is not easy to aim and hit your target with a handgun. You really should get some practice.
That's right, and a lot of gun owners do practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing is that a lot of times, as in the case of the Appalachian Law School, added internet search terms, by the way, Appalachian Law School was a case where the law students heard the shooting of the dean by a shooter who came on campus armed with a .380 handgun, and he shot the dean. Well, the report, of course, was heard. Two students recognized it as a gunshot. They went back to their cars. This was in Virginia. They went back to their cars. They got their weapons. And without shooting the shooter, they held him at gunpoint. Now, they've just de-escalated the situation, George.
Right. Now,
with their authority.
Had the guns been banned in total,
mm-hmm.
would that shooter have had that gun?
Well, we don't even need to imagine. We know. Because when we turn to Cho or Virginia Tech, we know what happened. He had all the time he needed. He had hours to complete what he set out to do. The same thing with the mall shootings. The same thing where any place is a victim disarmament zone. The shooter breaks several laws, several, before he even sets foot on campus. And before he chambers his first round, he knows he can find the area to be as advertised. Because they say, no guns, they post it, you know, maybe on the glass of the door. Or they have a policy out there.
A gun-free zone.
Right. Well, it's not so gun-free after all, is it?
No, it's not. It's not.
You know, but it's legal for these people to walk around, and it's probably a very good insurance policy to have such persons exercising that right who can come to the aid of another and maybe de-escalate the situation and join the 2.5 million who do it every year anyway.
What about the police response?
6 minutes.
It's reactionary, unfortunately.
It's not response.
They can't predict where there's going to be a crime, generally.
That's right. You can't place them every place. Even if you have police on campus, they have to be dispatched or witness the event. And a lot of times they're out doing things that they're required to do. And you just never know. But if you have an individual all over the United States in large numbers, and I mean large numbers, it's the equivalent of having 1 out of 10 persons knowing CPR. 60 Minutes did a piece on it about 20 years ago when they first introduced the paramedics in 1968. Seattle was one of the first cities in the country to have a paramedic program. It was a definitive pre-hospital care, and the graphic on 60 Minutes showed somebody administering CPR. They said Seattle was a great place to have a heart attack. 1 out of 10 knows CPR. Well, what if 1 out of 10 was armed? What do you think would happen to crime in this country? What do you think would happen to all of the policies that are based on the veneer of being anti-violent, the zero-tolerance policies, the women's shelters, the no-fault divorce? What about all kinds of policies that interfere with anger, hate, and violence management protocols in every single institution in this country now? They would all be impeached, because if they're hiding the ball by barring guns and saying, we're going to ban weapons here so you can't defend ourselves, then they hide the ball. It's like the death penalty. If it doesn't work, you can't say it's not a deterrent any more than you can say that it is. Give it a chance. Stop hiding the ball. And in 40 states where they affirm right to carry, gee, George, they just don't seem to have the same crime problem.